The foot is on Dreamerland.
It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Round 9 continues under the roof this afternoon here at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. The Dockers, 4-4, take on the Bombers with a couple of wins for the year, but they've been close in at three others. The Bombers, 2-point loss last week to the Giants, whilst the Dockers suffered a 24-point loss to the Lions at the Gabba. David Zaharakis is back for the Bombers. Adam Chera returns for the Dockers. Barry Denner with you. That's the most unimportant thing you'll hear all day, because as always, I'm just surrounded by some of the game superstars. This man, the captain of our ship today, two-time All-Australian, 287 games, the great Lee Montagna. G'day, Joey.
Good afternoon, Baz. We got to call a ripping game last night. The Tigers, they had no right to win that game. Somehow, as they always do, they found a way. And if we can get anything like that today, I'll be really happy.
See, by super special comments, has just absolutely blown apart this afternoon, this man. As a current Sorrento Shark, he played 157 for the Pies as well and 101 for the Blues. Only player in the history of the game in over 100 years to play over 100 for both of those clubs. Stacey Thomas, welcome back to the
floor. Great to be here, Baz. Great to be alongside you and Joey again. And I look forward to what we're going to dish up this afternoon. Yes. But unfortunately, Baz, you know I don't really like this. I don't think today is going to be about me as much as I'd like.
Which you won't like that.
No.
Because you like it when it's about you. Joey, a couple of questions for you. The most games played here at Marvel Stadium, who was it?
Most games played
here at Marvel Stadium by an individual. Who was it?
Matthew Lloyd?
No, it wasn't. Most goals kicked here at Marvel Stadium, Joey?
Matthew Lloyd?
Oh, you are. Seriously. You've lost it.
It can't be me, so.
No, it was a five-time
All-Australian. I get it now.
Yeah, you got it,
Joey. Now I know where you're going with this.
Nick Rewilder, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the footy, Triple M style.
Thank you, Baz. Thank you, boys. Good to be here alongside you. Good to have Joey steering the ship. So he's the skipper, is he?
Yeah, he's the captain.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he just. How's this going to work?
You do as I say. That's how it works.
Right, okay.
You know why he gets me to introduce, years. Nick? You know why he gets me to do all that?
Why is that?
Because he just couldn't be stuffed doing it.
Yeah, so
he
said, there's a bit of prep that went into it.
Absolutely.
For 100 years, Daisy.
Absolutely.
The only player in the history of I'm not sure if you've got any of those stats.
Well, I do. You know, most marks of all time and a few of those sort of things. But that's okay.
There's a fair few mark of the years back here as well.
Never. Robbed.
Yeah, no, me too.
So Nick Rewilder's kicked the most goals here at Melbourne. You didn't mention how many times that I passed it to him.
No.
Gave him half those goals.
But no doubt you will. This is going to be an interesting afternoon.
How many goals did you kick here at Marvel?
Yeah. I got no idea.
452.
Well,
there you go.
Probably 160 of them.
Yeah, you kicked them near me. Went and got it.
Interesting round of footy already, boys. And, of course, this afternoon, as we said, the Bombers and the Dockers. The Dockers are still sniffing around that top eight spot, sitting at 4-4 at the moment. Later on this afternoon, it'll be West Coast taking on Adelaide. Some of the results from yesterday, well, one of those last night with Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs, a tight game with Richmond and the Giants, of course. The Tigers by 4 points. The Lions got the job done over the Suns by 73. And the North Melbourne won by 7 points over Hawthorn. But we'll kick off with Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs, 20-point winners at Adelaide Oval. And Port, well, they'd be a bit filthy on that, you think.
Yeah, they will. They failed the test. They'd obviously been beaten by the West Coast Eagles and the Brisbane Lions, and pretty comprehensively. So this was their next big test to prove themselves against another credentialed side, and they failed again. So it's interesting to see where Port Adelaide are at now, because, boys, as you look at their run so far. So they've lost to three top eight teams, and they beat Richmond by 2 points in a cracking game, must be said, earlier in the year. But when you look at their record over the last 2 years, they're 15-0 against teams in the bottom 10 of the ladder. So what do you make of Port Adelaide? I mean, they made a prelim and they were a kick within getting within a grand final last year. But so far this year, they probably haven't stepped up to the mark against the good sides. Where do you put them?
Yeah, well, I still rate them highly. Obviously, last year they were fantastic on top of the ladder from the first round to the end of the season. Obviously, didn't go on with it into the finals. But I think at the minute, you're right. The question is, they've got to get a scalp at some point for them to be taken really seriously and to be spoken about how they should be, in my view, as a premiership contender. Because you look at the players they've got, the system they've got over there. They play some red-hot football. But just at the minute, when they come up against some big tests and a big challenge, they're just not getting the job done. Charlie Dixon's one that needs to lift against the big sides. He's a bit of a flat-track bully, Joey. He gets hot when he plays the lesser sides and fills his boots. But when he comes up against the really good defenders, just has a bit of a tendency to go missing and only kick his one and two. So they've got Georgiartis. He's becoming a real star in front of our eyes. And a few injuries as well. So I'm not riding Port Adelaide off by any stretch, but I'd love to see them get a scalp in the next month.
Oh, I think the Bulldogs go up, I think, in all of our estimations in terms of their bona fides and whether they have the capacity to go all the way. I think the one knock on them right the way through the Bulldogs has been their defence, and what's been great from them strategically is they just haven't exposed their defence with that midfield who's able to get on top. But for Port Adelaide, I don't think any less of them. I genuinely think we're living in probably the most obvious era of any given Sunday type football at the moment, where on any given day, anyone's capable of bobbing up. And that's really been the case across the competition the last 3 or 4 years, bar those 6 week runs into the finals that Richmond have then had and been able to capitalise. So I still think Port Adelaide are one of the genuine premiership contenders.
Yeah, I agree. I still think they can win it, absolutely. I think, though, what's important is they need to finish top four, because, as you said, it's in any given Sunday year, and I think more than any year, we've seen with these teams, they need to play at home, I think, in a big final series, because they are so evenly matched. It is very hard to separate Port Adelaide from Brisbane, from Geelong, from Richmond, you know, even from Melbourne and the Bulldogs now. So for Port Adelaide, it is still crucial that they finish top four for mine if they are a legitimate chance to win this flag.
It'd be interesting to go inside the four walls and just get a look into the mindset, because obviously we all know how good of a fortress Port is over there, their home ground, their supporters get into it before the game. Just when they go away and they travel to other people's fortresses. So when we went across to Port Adelaide, the emphasis to try and nullify the crowd, get a good start, it's such a challenge that other teams lift to. I think at the minute they're probably getting a little bit caught on the back foot, because teams come over, they find a bit more, they take the game on. But then again, when Port then travel like they did across to West Coast did to them what Port usually do to teams at home, if that sort of makes sense to you, Ruth.
Yeah, I think as well, every side's got injuries at this time of year, so you don't want to offer up that excuse. But when you look at the strength of the Western Bulldogs, we all know it's the midfield, the depth through that part of the ground, and the outs for the Port Adelaide. It's not a long injury list, but it's a significant injury list in terms of the personnel, with Lysette not playing and players like Butters and Dersmer that can go through that part of the ground and provide depth against an opposition like the Bulldogs. Again, it's not significant in terms of its length, but the players' specific roles, I think they miss players like those in a game against the Bulldogs.
And there's a difference between making that as an excuse and that purely being a reason, and that's probably one of those.
I think so. When you look at Port Adelaide's side, to me, they did seem a midfielder short going into that game against the Western Bulldogs. And when you look at the stats last night, again, Ollie Wines and Travis Boak were enormous, 32 and 30 disposals. Then it drops down to Carl Amont playing out on the wing with 21. And Powell Pepper, who sort of plays that half forward, a bit of an inside mid. So you compare that with the Western Bulldogs, who had, you know, 7 or 8 of those top possession winners, as we know they do. I think that was always going to be where they potentially were found out, and last night that was the case.
And Zachy Butters, he's an absolute ripper. Yeah. He was one who was really hard at it last year, really found some good form, and this season got his opportunity through that midfield, was finding a lot of the ball and just provided a different sort of look in there. He's a bit of pace, a bit of extra that they don't have alongside Boak and Wines.
This is the Triple M footy preview. Three superstars in the box. Nick Riewoldt, of course, with Joey Montagna and Daisy Thomas. And don't forget, for Ream Hot Water, ask your plumber to install a Ream steady, hot and strong. I asked my plumber Days. He said, "That's good thinking, Baz." That's an expression I don't hear a lot of.
No, I could imagine so. Coming into winter, though, really good choice by you.
Yeah, absolutely. The side, of course, Port Adelaide will be playing next week as Collingwood. The Pies went down by 30 points yesterday against the Swans. So all of a sudden that becomes a big game for Port Adelaide just to right in the ship.
Yeah, a bit of spice too in that one. You would have to think, wouldn't you? Like,
yep.
Surely.
Yep.
So I saw your mate last night. He was on the, what do you say, he was on the tweets.
Who was this? Swanee. Oh, Swanee,
did they sing
the prison bars afterwards.
No, they didn't.
That game's at the MCG, I believe, a Collingwood home game. So I just wouldn't be surprised if the Magpie Army start with a Never Tear Us Apart sort of tribute. Just a little bit of a sneaky finger, I reckon.
It is an important game for them, though. Yep. We've seen so often this year sides that have, well, the sides that we expect to contend at the end of the year, they've had the little audit on their football program, they've had the road bump, and then they've been able to right the ship really quickly the next week. So you'd expect Port Adelaide to be able to take care of business on that one.
Hey, one question I want to ask both of you and get your thoughts on, because I've had some thoughts on this for a while. Is Robbie Gray Port Adelaide's greatest ever player? Because the other probably one at the moment is, who is Port Adelaide's greatest ever player?
I think Tredray.
Tredray? So if Robbie Gray was able to win a premiership this year, would that elevate him? Because when you look at Robbie Gray, 3 BNFs, 4 All-Australians, a Coaches Association Player of the Year, 5 Showdown medals, and a couple of times leading goal kicker. Treadray was a four-time BNF, four-time All-Australian. Obviously won a whole heap of goal kicking, but it's got the premiership captain next to his name.
What about if Travis Boak wins the Brownlow this year and the premiership? Does he go straight into calculation?
Oh, I think Boak's in the conversation. His last few years have been, I mean, he's really bucked the trend in terms of players into their 30s that start playing career best footy. He invests a lot of time as well into his game. You see, he travels to the States in the off season. He does a lot of alternative sort of preparation stuff. So he would be up there, absolutely. I think you raise a great point with Robbie Gray. I still would have Treadray at the top of the tree because of the position that he played, that the era of success they had through that. I mean, one premiership through that period for Port Adelaide
didn't quite do them justice.
Well, it was almost unders for the dominance that they had as a side. Well, we're talking about great players, aren't we? They're hard to separate at the top end.
I like the way Nick just sort of scoffed at your stats said, Joey. He's five.
Shot me down real quick.
Six.
That's all right. That's
cool. No, I didn't scoff. I love Robbie Gray. Oh, I think he's...
Where I was.
Just getting a real look into the behind the scenes of when they played together, wasn't it? Imagine if Ross the Boss was in here too. We could just sit back, you and I, and have some popcorn, Baz.
Exactly. You're spot on. Richmond, 28 points they trailed by early in the third quarter. The Giants have kicked a goal here early in the third quarter last night. Tigers down by 28. They're sitting at 4-4. And all of a sudden, you've got a quarter and a half of footy left to play. And the reigning Premier, just under the pump, Daze. You were here last night. They got the job done in the end. Four-point winners, a couple of late goals. And all of a sudden, they're buoyed again. They're buoyant.
Yeah, they certainly are. They were low-level flying in that last 10 minutes of that game. Joey, you were calling it with me. Remember the Jesse Hogan free kick against when I'm not sure who it was, but was having a shot to put them 26
Nathan
points
Paul
up.
Was on Broad. Himmelberg
was having a shot, and they were 26 points up at the time. That's a go out to a 27 or 32 point lead. They went the other end. The Tigs got it back to 20. So there's these moments in the game that are huge. I'm not sure if that'll be spoken about too much throughout the week, but the Tigers just showing why they are the best team of the last 4 or 5 years. As you said off the top, they had no right to win that game last night, but they find a way. It was just red hot. Dusty Martin, what an unbelievable talent. Just every time you come to watch him and you watch the Tigs, you're like, surely he can't do it again. And every time, he does it.
Yeah, it's a great example of just a system standing up. And so the system is one thing. You need the system, but you still need the belief when you're 26 points down that you actually have the ability to be able to grind your way back in. And they've built that that belief and intestinal fortitude over a period of time of really solid results so that they never feel like they're out of a game. I mean, think of some of the really big games they've played in over the last few years. The prelim final against Port Adelaide, that was a game they had no right to win.
The grand
again,
final last year, 26 points down at the
that's
half.
That's right, but they find a way. They know that the greater the stakes and the more the pressure builds late in games, that their system and their method really, really stands up. And tonight is just another little chapter in what has been an incredible story for the Tigers.
Tell you what, over the last couple of years working with Daze, Nick, I've worked out and figured out and understood how much of a great historian of the game he is. A great result yesterday for North Melbourne, their first win of the year in round nine. David Noble, the coach, of course, racks up his first win.
Yep.
Daze reflected on that last night. Let's have a listen.
North Melbourne winning their first game of the season, defeating Hawthorn by 7 points.
10,975 days since David Noble took the coaching job and finally got a win.
Just
1,000.
Hang on, I'll do a quick calculation here. 10,975 days. That would take David Noble. He began coaching on the, and I'm very good at maths, you know that, Joey. That's on the 28th of April, 1991. He's had to wait 30 years, Dave.
That's a long wait. And I reckon the North Melbourne supporters, they feel it with me.
30 years, Dale. Well, he's been coaching from the under-9s.
Your mailman let you down.
My mailman did let me down. I just forgot to read the entirety of his message. It was that many days since he made his debut as a player. So it was 30-odd years, and I stuffed it right up. And I'm now a six-time feature of the Amy Clangers, which I love that. I'm sure there's something. I'm not sure. Do I get some insurance at the end of the year?
Yes, the Dockers in town and under the roof at Marvel Stadium take on the Bombers, who have played some pretty good footy this year. Just a couple of wins with Joey Montagna, Nick Riewoldt and Daze Thomas in the Triple M footy preview. And Joey, of course, back with your old mate Nick today, and you said to me last night, I'm really going to put him under the
bar. Well, before we really get stuck into this game, it's Rui's first game of the year on Triple M, a big signing for Triple M. We thought we might have heard him.
What are we, round
year.
Nine?
We're up to round nine. Yeah,
he was available for Saturday afternoon's Friday, but he said, I want to work with Baz and Joey.
Sunday rub, all of them wanted Rui, and he said, no, I've been listening to the call team with Baz and Daisy. They have the most fun. I want to work with the boys. So we've got him on, we've squeezed him in. Yeah. Daisy's not overly happy because he's had to take a back seat.
Absolute rubbish this is. You think Kilda love him over here. Luke Ball's to your left as well.
Whose seat have I taken out of interest?
No, usually one.
Daisy does a bit of everything for us on a Sunday arvo, so it's great to have you, Rui. But what we want to try and do is, while we've got you for the first time, we want to give you a bit of a, not a grilling, but we just want to fire some questions at you and get your first thoughts. No sitting on the fence here. Just answer some questions for us and we'll have a bit of a discussion about it. So I want to start with the young key forwards in the competition.
Yep.
So right now, we've got Harry Mackay, Oscar Allen, Aaron Norton, Mitch Georgiades, and the two King boys. If you were starting a team, which one of those young key forwards would you pick first?
Mackay.
Harry Mackay. Why?
Yeah. I think his ability to win the ball in a variety of ways at the moment is probably better than the rest of them. He's got better forward craft. He's a massive unit for a start. So I've stood next to the King boys. They're a lot slighter. Mackay is just a big, thick, strong young kid. And I questioned probably a couple of years ago whether he could shoulder the mantle of being the number one key forward in a forward line. I thought, okay, he's going to need Curnow to be able to come back into that lineup to really thrive. But he's sort of proved that doubt that I had wrong. So I'd load up on him. He can win it in a stand and deliver type situation. He comes really hard at the footy. He hits the logos, which I really like. So I think he's got a big tank. He's got a massive future, and I would be prioritising his signing at Carlton. This is interesting.
I was going to ask you, over Sam Walsh, if there was enough money for one of the two, you'd take Mackay over Walsh.
Well, the trouble for Carlton now is they've made the rod for their own back with the recruitment of Williams and Saad on massive dough. So Walsh, Cripps, Mackay, they're all coming out of contract. If I'm them, the three of them, well, I'm wanting more than Williams as a starting point, and that's all three of them. So I'm not sure how they're going to figure that one out, Carlton, but it's going to be interesting.
It's just an interesting one, isn't it? Because we see the Brodie Grundy deal where you get $7 million for 7 years playing some really good footy at the time and then sort of fall away. If you break it down, Mackay's played really good this season, but only a handful of games around that. So you're purely backing him on potential and where he can get to rather than what his actual output is.
That's right. But if I'm representing Mackay, Williams has set the market. So the market's already been set, and you can make the same argument off a handful of good games. Move on, Joey.
Yeah, that was a long answer. So we're running out of time, so I'm just going to give you short ones. You don't have to explain why.
Okay, well, set the brief properly at the start of the
sorry, draft. Right now, you had $100 to put someone to win the premiership.
Yep,
responsibly.
Who are you backing now?
Richmond.
Still Richmond.
Yep.
Which team has most disappointed you so far in 2021?
Right now... I would say probably Collingwood.
Collingwood?
Probably Collingwood. So I was still unsure coming in whether they could go again or whether they would take the step back.
So that leads to my next question.
Yep.
Do you believe Collingwood should re-sign Nathan Buckley?
Too early to tell.
Too early still?
Too early.
What advice would you give young Max King with his goal-kicking yips?
You're coming at me for that.
I'm just asking you, what advice would you give?
He had six different variations of goal-kicking routine the other day. So I would find one and just, as hard as it can be at times, back yourself in.
That's about all we've got time for.
We got one more. Squeeze it in. We've got 30 seconds.
Real tight one, Joey.
Come on, Joey.
Okay, Daisy want to know this one. Which player did you most dislike playing against in your career?
Come on.
Who did you really dislike?
Who didn't you like?
24 seconds. Who didn't I like?
Yeah. Do you like them all?
I got along with everyone, Baz.
Yep.
I was always that affable sort of guy.
I saw
everyone out at the clubs all the time.
Get it out of him.
Pubs. I was that sort of bloke. Everyone wanted to have a beer with
me. I didn't like him.
The Dockers and the Bombers at Marvel Stadium for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M Rocks footy. The Dockers are in town under the roof at Marvel Stadium and they're tackling the mighty Bombers. The Dockers 4-4 after 8 rounds and the Bombers just with the 2 wins, but they've been close in 3 others. We welcome our Western Australian audience for the big game this afternoon. You're in the box with Nick Riewoldt and the skipper of our ship, Joey Montagna, and the great Daisy Thomas, of course, on a Sunday afternoon. Going to be a classic game of footy. Looking forward to
getting stuck into it. We're about 10 minutes away from the bounce. Let's go down to the boundary line for the first time for Bob Jane T-Mutts. Bob Jane T-Mutts SUV and 4x4 flash sale ends this weekend. Up to 20% off alloy and steel wheels. BobJane.com.au. Dominating Fox Footy and Triple M. Sarah Ollier, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Baz and boys. Now, one of the subs for this afternoon is Nick Cox, the young emerging bomber. And I just find that a little bit curious because earlier in the week, the club flagged that they would manage him after 8 games. Now, ostensibly, this is because he didn't play any footy last year because of COVID. So, named as a medical sub for the Bombers today, I mean, it doesn't guarantee you minutes, but it also doesn't preclude you from minutes. And we saw what happened with the Crows down in Tassie when Tom Lynch had to get called upon. So I just find that a bit of a curious call. And as for Freo, well, it's Reece Conker, the medical sub.
Thanks, Sarah. What are we expecting this afternoon, boys? It is going to be a interesting game. The Dockers knocking on that spot, in a top 8 spot as we head towards the midway part of the season. So this trip to Melbourne becomes very important for them.
Yeah, it certainly does. And the Bombers, Baz, they've been pretty impressive so far. Although the results haven't gone their way in a few close ones, I argue that they're probably playing the most attractive brand of football from any side outside the top 8. Young Harry Jones up forward, he's an absolute beauty. And the Dockers, well, I guess we get to see what they can bring over here at Marvel. They don't have a great track record, lost 11 of 13 at the venue. So they need to come across, they need to bring their pressure, and they need to bring their hunt around the ball. Because we know the Essendon midfield, once they sort of get you on the spread, a bit like the Bulldogs, they're very hard to stop. But it's going to be interesting because head-to-head against the Fremantle Dockers mids, they're in the more inside, really hard contested head over it side. So shapes up to be a cracker, and hopefully like last night, it's an absolute rip snorter.
Yeah, it's a good call. I think the Bombers style is something that's really interesting in terms of the evolution of Ben Rutten and his coaching tenure at the Bombers. We know they had players come across, so Rutten spent time at Tigerland, Blake Carosello spent time at Tigerland, and just that transition from the way the Bombers played when they first came across to the way they look now, it far more resembles a Richmond-type style. And it stood up for them this year. I mean, I know they've only had the 2 wins, but their percentage of 95.6 is the second best of any side outside the top 8. So they've been in games and they've been really competitive, haven't quite been able to get across the line with a pretty significant injury list as well. So this shapes up as a really good one today. And I think it's a real test for Fremantle to be able to come across to the other side of the country with a lot on the line. But they're not just a side that you go out and just take care of, the Bombers. They're sneaky good at the moment, despite their 2-win performance.
And this is huge for Fremantle in terms of the ladder positions too, because this has been a bit of a separation round, really. A lot of the teams in the top 8 have all had wins. So the Bulldogs, Geelong, Brisbane, Sydney, you think West Coast will get the job done this afternoon against Adelaide. And Richmond, of course, won as well. So there's a bit of a gap. So this is really Fremantle's opportunity to stay in touch with the top 8. If they lose this one as well, there's basically 7 teams that have got the 2-game gap and percentage on the rest of the competition. So for Fremantle, it is a big game. They've been disappointing their last 2 weeks against West Coast and the Brisbane Lions. As you said, Daisy, they've got to win it in the congestion. In the middle of the ground, they've got the bigger bodies with Fife and Mundy. Caleb Sarong and Brayshaw are beauties. We know Essendon have got that speed and talent on the outside. So that's going to be where the game's won and lost. But like you, Rui, I'm really impressed with the way Essendon are now building a brand. It's really clear to see the style of footy they want to play. Their pressure, once the ball gets outside the contest, is elite. They use their leg speed not only on offence, but to lay tackles and pressure. And they are playing a great brand of footy still for Essendon. Just defensively, they're still just got to try and tighten up. And that's a work in progress because they are playing a bit more of a zone system. It is a work in progress, as we've said. But this should be an absolute cracking game.
Is that the part of the game where you think Fremantle can really stretch them? In that forward half of the ground with Rory Lobb up there, with Tabernacle, with Walters, with Fife when he drifts forward? Is that where you see the Bombers as being vulnerable?
Yeah, absolutely. The Bombers, as I said, they're defending as a group, but individually they've still got some vulnerabilities. Laverde and Francis, and as good as Ridley and Redmond have been, they can get caught ball watching at times. So Fremantle, if they can take control of the game through the middle of the ground, you will get looks against Essendon. They will give you looks on offence, but you've got to take care of business around the ball first.
Yeah, the key to that is moving the ball and changing an angle, because if you get just caught long down the line and living down the line all day, that defence is easily set behind you. But when they have to shift as one and as that group, they've got blokes at the minute still learning the system, not a knock on them, but just getting caught in between, either not sure whether to press up or pressing up at bad times. And if you can get some speed on that footy, Tabernacle, he'll get some really good looks today, I reckon.
Daisy Thomas, Nick Riewoldt, and the great Joe Montagna. The Triple M Red Z Lending stats, what are they set up for this game this afternoon? Of course, Red Z Lending Loans for the self-employed, looking after them as always. Ethan Meldrum, who was recently compared with Carl Pearson, Joey.
Carl Pearson?
Carl Pearson.
Who's that?
As a statistician way ahead of his time. Carl Pearson.
The great 100-metre runner.
The father of modern statistics, Joey.
Oh.
Passed away in 1936, but who'll ever forget the Pearson product moment correlation? This man won't. Ethan Meldrum. G'day, Ethan.
Even I don't know who Carl Pearson is, Baz.
You taught me all about him.
Essendon, they come in here with good form. They've won their last four games against Freo, won 12 of 13 all up against Freo at Marvel Stadium. As you said, Joey, they're good going forward, but bad going defensively. Second for points scored per game. Second most points conceded as well. Darcy Parrish has done well since he moved into the midfield in the last 6 weeks. He's played 97% of the game. They're averaging 31 touches a game in that time. Third for clearances, second for centre clearances in that period as well. Fremantle, they've done some things right. They've conceded the least clearances per game, second for marks inside 50 as well, but it's their goal-kicking accuracy that's letting them down. They're 13 for points scored, but on Champion Data's expected score, they rank 7th, which is the worst differential in the competition. Nat Fyfe, he's kicked 2 goals, 15 this year, but the positive is he's never had less than 24 touches in a game against Essendon. Andy Brayshaw as well, 31 disposals per game across the last month.
For RAA, we've got around the grounds today. RAA ensure with the locals today. Eth, of course, we're crossing to Adelaide and the West Coast Eagles a little bit later today, but there's another game being played at the MCG.
Yeah, certainly is. Melbourne versus Carlton. D's trying to go 9-0.
Thoughts on that one, boys? The Demons and the Blues will, of course, cross the scores on that a little bit later on. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a bit of a sneaky chance for the Blues. However, if Melbourne produce their best, they'll be too good.
Yeah, I don't see the sides as being too different in terms of personnel, in terms of ability, but I think Melbourne have just, they've nailed their system at the moment, and they're playing with such confidence. The role players are really thriving on their role. There seems to be a lot of value placed on that at Melbourne at the moment. Carlton haven't quite got there yet, but I don't think they're too far away from that really being able to click. Carlton have conceded really lumpy scores against, where teams go on a run of sort of 5-6 goals, and that's been the difference between them winning and losing 4 or 5 games this year. So they're not far away, the Blues.
Boys, a couple of players that you're looking forward to seeing today. For mine, Michael Walters is one who, for his high standards, has just been down on form a little bit, hasn't quite had the impact he's had on previous years. I think today under the roof at Marvel might suit him down to the ground, as we said, with Essendon maybe giving Fremantle some good looks forward to the ball. What about for you two? Who are you most looking forward to watching today?
I love Nat Fyfe as a player. You don't get to see him play too often because they're always on the other side of the country. 2 goals, 15.
Yeah, 2 goals, 15. 3 misses as well.
Unbelievable. Well, you know, he's just a complete player in my eyes. Obviously, he needs to fix up that part of the game, but always love seeing the superstars run around and do their thing.
Yeah, I'm going through just a young up-and-comer, young Harry Jones. I just love the way he presents at the footy. And a lot of blokes that come into the game these days and age and a big key forward go for the chest a lot when they lace out on the lead. He just puts the jukes out exclusively. He loves it there, so I look for him. And, of course, Tipper down in that forward line just buzzing around. He has been unbelievable so far this season for the Bombers.
And I want you boys at the CBUS Super Special comments just to keep an eye on Archie Perkins' role today, because without Jake Stringer, who's been that big body that's gone into the centre bounces to help out that sort of smaller midfield, I think Archie Perkins is going to have a big role today to play in the midfield to try and combat the likes of Fyfe and Mundy. So just see how that young man goes. I think he's developing beautifully.
You touched on Sonny Walters there. That's probably, I think, for Fremantle, a good thing that he's spending a lot more time in that forward line rather than having to pinch hit through the midfield. They've got Fyfe, Mundy, Cherris, Sarong, Brayshaw as well. So their depth in there means that he can spend more time at home. If they get some really good looks, expect him to light it up.
Triple M CBUS Super Special comments. Nick Riewoldt with Daisy Thomas this afternoon, delivering consistent long-term returns for members. CBUS for us all. We've been talking about how attractive Essendon's game is. We're talking about the Bombers have probably lost games that they were a big chance to win. But what about the Dockers? Is this a game that you can make a little bit of a statement? You sit at 4-4. You're trying to break into the 8. Where are they at right now? Is this a game that should just come and win, Nick?
No, it's not a statement game because it's against a lower credentialed opponent. But it is a game that they really need to win if they have serious aspirations of being able to lock down a spot in the top 8. But as we've said in the build-up here, the Bombers aren't just a team that you can come off and come up against and tick off a win, because they play a really good brand. They've been in every game this year. They're competitive. They've got match winners on every line. So you've got to come and you've actually got to take care of business.
All right, we'll get set for action. The great Joey Montagna will kick us off. And for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M rocks footy.